Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast, the only nonsensical podcast that you need in your podcast library. I'm your host, John Orlando, and I am so happy to be back here on the airwaves, episode 76, talking a little WWE wrestling action. That's right. That's right. This episode, this installment, is going to feature a lot of stuff that's been happening over the last couple of days in the WWE. And joining me, my good buddy Adam Michaels, is going to be here. We're going to talk about not only the big NXT TakeOver Brooklyn show, we're also going to talk about SummerSlam from just a few nights ago, as well as hit a few highlights from Monday Night Raw. We're going to give all of our opinions, all of our insights, all of our thoughts on those three big events in the world of WWE. And before we get into that, I want to tie up a few loose ends and talk about a few things. First and foremost, thanks to everybody who listened to the last episode of the PVD Cast, or heck, for I want to thank anybody that's listened to any episode of the PVD Cast, but especially the last one with Marion Fontaine. We were talking old wrestling, which is coming up in a couple of days, August 30th, the Huron County Fairgrounds up in Norwalk, Ohio. 3 o'clock is the bell time. You know, I enjoyed all the emails. I enjoyed the tweets that I received about that episode. It was a fun episode. I hope you enjoy it. And definitely, if you get an opportunity, travel on up to Norwalk, Ohio, and catch old wrestling. You can get all the details simply by going to oldwrestling.com. That's O-L-D-E wrestling.com. Now, I would also like to clarify something that I tweeted out over the weekend. I guess I caused some confusion. So let me give you the story, the full scoop. I started posting episodes of this podcast on SoundCloud because many other podcasters are doing it, and I figured, what the heck? Well, I didn't want to sign up for, I guess you could call it the deluxe package. I used the free service. And I received an email late last week that basically, I've reached my limit on SoundCloud, and so SoundCloud will allow me to update and put the newest episode up on SoundCloud, but it will bump the last or the oldest one off. So I believe the episode 73 with the Hot Commodity to Matt Mason was getting kicked off. And I'm glad that they alerted me to that fact, but I'm not going to sign up and have a deluxe account with SoundCloud. I don't think it's wise for me. I don't think it's more... It gives me any more bang for my buck, but I'm just letting you know that, you know, if you listen through SoundCloud, great, thank you, I appreciate it. Let me know if you like it and what you think of the episodes, but just keep in mind that eventually they're going to disappear. Now, I'm still using Stitcher Radio. I'm still going to distribute this podcast through Stitcher Radio, and Stitcher Radio... you know, you can listen to any of the episodes I have up there. You could just go back through Stitcher's catalog and pick out the ones you want to listen to. I'm still going to be doing that. Stitcher Radio, quite frankly, has been awesome since day one. I cannot put them over enough. They have just been phenomenal. Of course, you can always hear the latest episode, as well as many archived episodes of the PVD Cast, at my own website, pvdcast.com. So that's three ways to hear this great podcast: PVDcast.com, Stitcher Radio, which will have a whole plethora of episodes, and on SoundCloud. But again, just be warned, there may only be the most recent episodes. I don't know why I couldn't say that. The most recent episodes, the last two or three that I've done. So, you know what? Eventually, I hope to get this podcast on iTunes. I don't know. I've run into a lot of problems, and I'm not going to rant and rave about iTunes. The customer service has not been very good to me. They haven't really answered my questions very thoroughly. I've had to go to another podcaster out in the Midwest and ask some advice from him. And I have found out that because the BVDcast.com is a WordPress site, that might be causing some of the problems. And I'm working on trying to fix that, but I don't know. I just think that in America today, sometimes companies just don't care about customer service. And you know what? I'm not even going to get into it. Listen to this podcast wherever. Through my website, through Stitcher, or through SoundCloud. Just listen, please. That's the bottom line. And let some folks know. Tell a friend. Tell two friends. Three friends. Just listen. That's it. Just listen. All right. But you know what? Since we're talking about companies and customer service, let me tell you about Bluehost. Bluehost.com is the official web hosting service for the PVD cast. Bluehost offers great customer service and competitive pricing. And, you know, listen, I'm testifying to how great their customer service has been. In the past, there's been a few glitches with PVDcast.com. I simply give them a phone call, live online chat, and whammo, problem solved. They have slashed their prices. All you got to do is go over to Bluehost.com to get all the information. And hey, if you need a website for whatever reason, I can't recommend Bluehost as the hosting service more than, you know, I just can't do it. I can't put them over anymore, man. They are just the greatest. So Bluehost.com is where you need to go if you're thinking about a company to host your own website. All right, so we're going to hear a quick musical interlude, and then on the other side of that, my conversation with Adam Michaels as we discuss WWE SummerSlam, Raw, and NXT TakeOver. Stay tuned. DVD cast, Adam Michaels, how are you, my friend?
Hey, John Orlando. Wonderful to be here yet again on the PVD cast.
Yet again.
Yeah, hey. Hey, what is this, fourth or fifth time? I don't even know, but they just keep getting...
What?
Getting better, John. There we go, sorry.
We had some technical difficulties with the Skype. Anyways, you were saying?
I was just saying, it's probably the fifth time around, but it just keeps getting better each time.
There you go, there you have it. So real quickly, you're in the new house. For those who don't know, Adam bought a new house. He's now living in Marysville. That is correct.
Yes, the polar vortex that we call Marysville. That's where I am broadcasting from this evening.
Is it better than Sydney?
Yes, in the sense that it is certainly closer to the civilization that is Columbus, Ohio. Dayton isn't much of a metropolis these days, so it's nice to be back close to a bigger city for sure and back closer to friends.
All right. With that, as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, we're going to talk a lot about WWE. You and I both watched NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, and we both sat together in your living room in your palatial estate in Marysville on SummerSlam. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I'll talk a little bit about Raw, even though you did state that you were very busy Monday night. You did not get a chance to watch Raw, but maybe we'll just throw some ideas back and forth. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
All right, overall, what'd you think of NXT?
It's funny. I guess after a while, you get a little jaded. I think compared to the last, let's say, two takeovers they did, I don't think it was as good. But, I mean, if you're comparing it to the state of wrestling today, I think you have to give it a 10.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it was as good as some of the other takeover shows that they've had, but I still thought it was pretty good. I gave it I'd give it an 8.5 or a 9. I thought
it was good. Yeah, I mean, I guess like I'm saying, if you're comparing it to what's on TV, you know, every week, you certainly have to give it a 10. But, I mean, as a whole, yeah, it certainly ranks up there with one of the better shows in the last couple of years.
Now, I am going to be curious starting tomorrow on Wednesday what they're going to show from what they taped prior to the actual TakeOver live event, because I understand they taped a few matches prior to it, so I'm curious to see that. But, all right, let's talk about the show itself, and I know the very first match is going to be a little controversial between you and I. We had Jushin Thunder Liger defeat Tyler Breeze. You were not a fan of this match. Why?
No, I don't know. Maybe because it's not the first match I would have put out there. When you think Jushin Thunder Liger, you think a lot of high flying, you think a lot of fast paced, but unfortunately, you know, age is a hell of a thing. It catches up with you pretty fast, as you and I both can attest to at this point in our lives. But especially in professional wrestling, you're 50 years old, you're not going to be able to do things you were able to do even 5 years prior. I guess I was a little harsh on it, saying that it wasn't good, but I guess it didn't live up to the expectation that I had for it.
Okay. So I thought it was a good match. I thought it was good, but I went in with the realization that this is a 50-year-old Jushin Thunder Liger. He's not going to be flying around the ring when he did back in WCW era with Brian Pillman and Brad Armstrong. But I thought it was good. I thought that, you know, they kept it simple for him and allowed him to showcase what he could.
And I enjoyed it. Of course, I'm a big fan of Tyler Breeze. I think that character is good, and it's still strong.
Yeah. I agree. He's probably, including WWE, in my top five in terms of character. Mm-hmm. And even his in-ring work, I mean, I think is fantastic. So I guess I was a little disappointed to see that they put, you know, Liger over. I guess it's hard not to, but... You know, considering what they did at SummerSlam with their big matches, you know, they could have ended that a different way.
Oh, yeah, and I agree. We'll talk more about SummerSlam and some of the matches and some of the endings that were awful. Okay, I think probably this could be – this was a close contender, I think, for match of the night. Vaudevillains win the NXT tag team titles, defeating Blake and Murphy. I thought it was a really good tag team match.
Yeah, the only critique I have for it, and it's being very nitpicky, is it, you almost have like a blueprint in terms of tag team wrestling and professional wrestling anymore. And we could sit on here all day and sound like marks, but the fact of the matter is it's the heels putting what they call heat, you know, on one of the two babyface guys until a hot tag is made. And it's kind of nice when they kind of deviate from that norm every once in a while. Mm-hmm. This did not do that. I don't remember if it was Simon Gotch or help me with the other guy's name.
Aiden English.
Aiden English. I think it was Aiden English that they were putting the heat on. But that's the first thought that came to my mind. It's like, man, they are doing just the prototypical tag team match here. But again, I think – in the grand scheme of things, it was very good. It was entertaining. I guess I wish I would have seen them kind of get off the script a little bit.
And then you had the addition of Blue Pants, a.k.a. Leva Bates, from the indie circuit that joined the ranks to kind of eliminate Alexa Bliss's interference. And I'm a big fan of what Alexa Bliss has done as a manager. I think she's much more entertaining in that role than actually in the ring wrestling. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen much of her in the ring. I saw the match she had in Columbus that they showed, and maybe one or two others. And, yeah, she hasn't really, you know, blown me away in terms of her in-ring ability, but I thought she did real good with Blake and Murphy, and I hope they keep her that way.
I do, too. I'm curious to see what they do with Blue Pants because, you know, her shtick throughout the indies, and it's been a creative shtick, has been the cosplay queen. She will dress up as the comic book superheroes and the sci-fi fantasy heroes. I don't think companies are going to let that happen in the WWE. You know what I mean? I don't see her coming out in a Daredevil costume in Marvel Comics going, that's okay. Go ahead. I think a cease and desist letter would be faxed over right away. Or email.
Yeah, most definitely.
Or email.
And how much or email, right? How much...
Fax is so mid-90s, I'm so sorry.
Hard it is to find a fax machine, by the way. It really is. It really is. That and voicemail. Or answering machines, rather. But, yeah, how far can she go with the Blue Pants character?
Right.
You know what I mean? I guess right now they're doing a whole stick that she's not part of the company or she's not hired on with the company.
Right. Right. But I mean, I believe that they have signed her. So, I mean, eventually that gig is up. But, all right. Well, NXT also saw the debut of Apollo Crews, a.k.a. Ooh-Ah Nation. And he defeated Ty Dillinger. And I got to be honest, I haven't been this impressed with an individual's debut in a very long time. But Apollo Crews, that guy is impressive. Some of the moves that dude pulls out for as big as he is was amazing. That's all I can say. It's truly amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I saw a lot of comparison to him, Bobby Lashley, just on the surface. But, I mean, he obviously blows Bobby Lashley out of the water in terms of work rate. I mean, like you said, he comes in, you think he's just going to be kind of a lumbering big man. I mean, the guy's built like a brick shit house, let's be honest. And, he pulled out some moves that were very, very impressive. I think he's going to be a big star for them.
I think so too. I definitely look forward to seeing more of Apollo Crews because that dude, wow. Amazing. To the next match and the worst match of the show, Samoa Joe defeated Baron Corbin. I mean, I think the listeners are tired of me ragging on Baron Corbin, so I'm going to let you take this one and give your 2 cents worth. As I think it would be redundant for me to sit here and talk about this match.
Well, it almost seems like they're trying to push Baron Corbin down the throats of the audience, kind of like, and I won't say to the extreme of Roman Reigns last year, but it's certainly in that same realm where the guy's got the build. There's no doubt about it. He's got zero personality. So they're trying to compensate for that personality somehow. And let's be honest, Samoa Joe doesn't have the best personality. He's got charisma. I don't want to take that away from him. But, you know, his character really is not much of a charismatic type character. He's more of a go in there, kick ass, and do his thing. When you put two guys like that together, especially one who's, I mean, let's call him Green. I mean, he's not
as much
of a veteran as Samoa Joe. I just thought it wasn't the best matchup for him. And I really don't know what they see in him or what they're wanting to do with him long term.
And you know what? They even had a video package prior to the match, and I was bored with that. I don't care about your NFL career and your football career. And it's like, it's still, there's nothing about Baron Corbin that is anyways interesting, and I agree with you. I think they're trying to cram him down the throat of everybody that's watching NXT.
And they put him on the main roster. That guy's going to get just crucified.
I mean,
there's nobody that – none of the fans will get behind him because they're not now. I mean, it's so quiet. I mean, Samoa Joe's a pretty big star in terms of indie wrestling. I mean, even take his TNA time. In that match, I mean, you could just hear a pin drop most of the time.
You could. Not to mention the fact that to the trained eye, you could see that Baron Corbin was kind of messing some things up too. But I digress. I could spend 20 minutes ranting and raving about him, but we're gonna move along here to what you said was you felt was the best match of the show, and I say it was pretty. I thought it was really good too, Bayley. Defeating Sasha Banks to get the NXT Women's title. You know, I think they told a very good story, even though towards the end a few things got a little bit sloppy, but nonetheless, you know, Bayley getting the dupe. I thought it was a really good match too. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think start to finish it was the best match on the card and one of the better women's matches that you'll see. And unfortunately it doesn't carry over into the main roster. And I was listening to Sasha Banks on a podcast where she said, you know, I didn't come here to wrestle 3-minute matches. Well, unfortunately, that's what she's going to be doing from now on. I think that was like her last hurrah, so to speak, for a 15-20 minute job. And, I thought they just knocked it out of the park. It was a little, like you said, a little sloppy at the end. I think maybe they were getting tired because they went basically shaved balls to the wall the whole time. There wasn't a lot of rest holds.
No, and they went a good 12, 13, 14 minutes too. Yeah, they were all going full throttle. I guess the question with Bayley as the champ is, you know, there's only so many ways you can go with that character because, let's be honest, she's, as my girlfriend says, she's the grown 5-year-old. She's the adult 5-year-old. Understandable. So it's interesting to see maybe in 2 years down the road where that character goes. You don't agree or you disagree?
I don't disagree with you. Okay. I think that at this point, that was the only way for them to go.
Yeah, sure.
They don't have another top woman, whether it's babyface or heel.
And she's over with the kids, and let's be honest. I mean, that, right. you're
she's over with the crowd.
She's over with the crowd. Totally. But, I think that is a very good question as to, you know, I think with that particular character, there's only so many avenues you can go. And with a long career for her, hopefully, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do and what avenues they do take.
I was going to say, I'd be interested to see who they put in the next program with her. I don't know if it's going to be Carmella. I haven't seen enough of her. And what I have seen, I haven't really been interested in.
Yeah.
Again, we talked about Alexa Bliss. Meh. You know, what other heel is there?
Well, I think that they do have Emma and they have Dana Brooke.
Although
I think the fans would piss all over that idea because, you know, during NXT, I believe there was a sign that said Dana Brooke literally is the worst. And somebody a fan had that sign in the crowd. So you know that you try to push that down their throat, they're not going to go for it. I would say your safe bet would be Emma, because she can carry herself in the ring and work a good program with Bayley. And I think that's where you have to go.
Yeah, at least as a starting point, if nothing else, until you can find somebody established or somebody that you can build up to get some heat.
Right, right. Even though they do have a new young lady that we saw a small vignette for during TakeOver, Jay Nix, I believe is how it's pronounced. And I don't know much about that young lady, but I know that they have high hopes for her as well.
Yeah, it was an interesting promo. You don't see a lot of women promos in terms of hype videos.
Yeah, you don't see too many of those, period. It doesn't matter for the guys or for...
Yeah, anymore. It always used to be a cool thing that they would do.
Like Razor Ramon out on the streets of Havana.
Yep, that was always a classic. Or even, you know, you go to the mid-90s with ones, you know, like Duke the Dumpster Drozzi, I remember. You know, they would shoot vignettes of him on the back of dump trucks. And, I mean, it's just... It's something that takes you away from the ring, if nothing else. Yeah. Kind of gets you behind the scenes. Granted, that really wasn't behind the scenes, but for us idiots that were, you know, 14 at the time, we probably thought it was.
All right.
No, it's a gorgeous man.
Now, for the main event was the ladder match for the NXT title. It was, of course, Finn Balor defending against Kevin Owens. Balor does retain the NXT title, and I thought that match was really, really good, too. It's hard between that and the women's match, and even I'll throw out the tag match. I think those were all three really good matches. It's hard to pick what I thought was the best match of the night, but just because the ladder's involved, I'm going to put that as the match of the night. Finn versus Kevin Owens, really good match.
Yeah, what I would take away from that and even the women's match is that if you are any kind of educated wrestling fan, if you will, you knew that Bayley was going to win, and you knew that Finn Balor was going to win. So I think that they had an uphill battle from the start to try to get people to remain interested, knowing that these titles were going to change hands. It would have been a ridiculous surprise if either one of those went the other way. That being said, I think the women's match certainly accomplished that, and I think that the ladder match did as well. Mm-hmm. I said to myself before it even started, you know, boy, these guys are going to have to kill themselves to really, after that lead-in. And
sure, yeah.
I was very impressed. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, well, definitely. So that's NXT TakeOver, and I think that they did mention that they're going to be touring in the UK. I think that was mentioned during that broadcast, or maybe it was mentioned during SummerSlam. I don't remember, but they did state that they are taking it on the road to the UK. I don't know. I think that NXT's got a lot of steam behind them, but you know, some questions have been asked about the status of some contracts with the NXT talent, because they do not get a percentage of the gate when they do go out on the road. So I think that's going to be something that's going to be interesting to watch over the next few years to see how Vince McMahon handles that. Your thoughts on those contracts and how they, you know, how they're structured?
I mean, you and I talked about it a little bit over the weekend, and yeah, I get it. But then I think Vince McMahon has horribly lopsided contracts to begin with now.
Yeah.
Why is anything going to change? I mean,
right.
It's going to be the same shtick. Okay, you don't have to sign my deal for $40,000 and no gate, or you can go back to wrestling at, you know, Tennis Shoe Tech in the gymnasium. I mean, that's for $50.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what it's going to be.
Yeah,
and they're
exactly
going to be like, oh, sweet, let me sign right here.
Right.
You know.
Right. And your motivation to get better and to get good and to get over is, of course, you know, hey, look, you'll get to the main roster and you'll make the gate instead of, you know, your 40 grand. Yeah, I think I agree with you. I don't think it's going to change any, but I do think that it is interesting, some of the contracts that are in NXT, you know, especially with some of the more established people coming over. And, you know, like I said, there was an article that came out about the gate for the Brooklyn show and how some people may not be getting enough money, quote unquote, enough. And then it's just interesting. I don't know. But anyways, NXT out on the road. I know they said that they were going to go to Texas as well as the UK. And you know what? That's great, because I think that NXT is bringing a unique product. I've talked about it many times. I think it's the best wrestling show on TV right now. So,
yeah, it is. I just hope they don't shit the bed, meaning just drilling it too much. I think one of the great draws of NXT right now is the fact that it is not mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like the ECW effect where, you know, it's on a, in this case, a small station being, you know, the WWE Network. If you don't get that, you don't see NXT.
Right.
If it gets to the point where, you know, like WWE, it's on five times a week, or you can see it anywhere, everywhere, I don't think it's going to have the same draw.
Right.
I think they have to keep it as small, intimate as possible.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Hopefully things like the Barclays Center are just one every, you know, 6 months.
Right. Yeah. Agreed. I totally agree with you on that. So, okay. So overall, we'd be in agreement. We liked NXT TakeOver.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Let's move on to the SummerSlam event that was on Sunday. Okay. Overall, if you were grading this, what would you give SummerSlam on a scale of 1 to 10, much like we did with NXT?
I'm probably in that 6.5 to 7 range. I thought it was entertaining. There wasn't anything that I was completely against. You know, I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it, just to kind of critique it a little bit better. Cause I mean, when you're in a group of people like we were, we had, you know, four guys that were sitting there watching it, it's a little bit harder to really understand and get a good grasp of the matches. I mean, when I was watching NXT, I was watching it pretty much by myself, mm-hmm. so I was able to really focus in on a few things. But overall, I mean, I thought it was a passable show. Certainly one of their better ones of the year.
Well, you know, my only thing is I think that when you look at SummerSlam being the big event for the summer, that you have higher expectations. That's what you're supposed to have, higher expectations. Sadly, I think I'm so jaded I didn't. Because I agree with you. I would give 6.5, maybe a 7 at best. I agree with mm-hmm. you 100%. Because I think that there was a couple of good matches, very good matches, and then there were some that were just raw quality. I could have watched those on Monday night. And, you know, let's go ahead and start off with their opener was Sheamus against Randy Orton, which to me, I don't understand why this match was even booked, to be honest. Why not use Orton and Sheamus in a different way rather than having them wrestle for the umpteenth million time on a pay-per-view? For nothing, exactly. Why not? And I'll just randomly pick two names, okay? Why not elevate a Bo Dallas to take on Randy Orton? You know, Mizdow take on Sheamus and try to elevate somebody else. Rather than just having Orton and Sheamus, because the fans were not into it.
They weren't. And where do they go with it? You know, I mean, both of those guys earned. I think Sheamus was the right call to put over due to his Money in the Bank status. But
sure.
I mean, now what do they do? I did not see Raw in terms of Randy Orton and Sheamus. I did peruse the dirt sheet, if you will, to see the results. But I didn't see anything on Sheamus and Randy Orton. I saw that they were maybe in a big 10-man tag.
8-man tag. Yeah, right.
So really it did nothing.
No, it didn't. And you gotta wonder when is Sheamus gonna cash in the Money in the Bank briefcase and does he win with it?
Or does anybody care?
You're right, and does anybody care? You're absolutely correct. I think that, you know, those guys I'm so bored with, I could care less. Unless they start using them to put other talent over, I could care less.
And I mean, they did it perfectly with Seth Rollins in terms of Money in the Bank. I mean, he was built to the moon. So when he did finally cash that in, I mean, people were excited to see it. When mm-hmm. Sheamus doesn't, nobody cares.
Nope. So New Day regained the WWE tag titles, beating primetime players, the Lucha Dragons and Los Matadores in what was not a very good fatal four-way match. I didn't think that the match was very good at all. Quite a few botched maneuvers. Though, I'm happy that they put the belts back on New Day. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was the right call. I don't know what they see in the primetime players. I don't find them very interesting. And New Day is probably the hottest act on Raw right now.
Sure, I agree.
Or let's call it in WWE right now. Brock Lesnar. People are really starting to get behind them, and hopefully they don't ruin it by, you know, making them all of a sudden baby faces, because let's be honest, they tried that and it didn't work.
Right. I think the primetime players, I think that they have a little bit of charisma. I think that that's where I see them. Los Matadores and Lucha Dragons are the two teams that I just don't see a thing interesting about them. And to me, you know, obviously New Day is, as you said, the hottest thing, one of the hottest things going in the company. Mm-hmm. So it makes perfect sense. And we'll talk a little bit about their antics at Raw, which were highly, highly entertaining.
I don't really get, you know, why they brought up the Lucha Dragons from NXT. I think they were a great enhancement team for NXT because their act just doesn't play to the main roster very well.
No.
You can say what you want about Los Matadores. They were doomed from the beginning. But it's like the Ascension. I mean, everybody knew that was going to bomb. And the same with the Lucha Dragons. Everybody knew that was going to bomb just because it's not a WWE quality gimmick. It was good for a small audience, but I kind of feel bad for them because they did a good job in NXT.
Sure, yeah, but they're not doing it up here up in the main roster, if you will. We had a double countout, which I didn't think I would be saying ever in a SummerSlam match between Dolph Ziggler and Rusev. A match that was totally forgettable. Like, I will be honest, I don't remember a thing that happened in the match, and I forgot even that the match took place. That's how unnoteworthy it was.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that was noteworthy was the, as you pointed out, I believe, like the Def Leppard outfit that Lana wore to the ring. That she just came from a Def Leppard concert. But yeah, I mean, what's the deal with that? A double count on your second biggest pay-per-view of the year. And that's the problem that you're going to run into with the WWE Network, is that they're going to be doing that a lot more.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I think.
Yeah, well, and again, I think I don't know, I have mixed emotions about it. I'm glad to see that we did something different, but not on SummerSlam. I agree. And just overall, I think there's another feud that I'm tired of. Dolph Ziggler and Rusev. And in fact, you know, we talked about it. It seems to be going super long, but yet we forget that Rusev was injured. And that's why it's going forever. But I never would have rekindled this feud. I would have let it die and just move on because it just, to me, again, bored with it. How many times can we see these guys wrestle, whether it's SmackDown or Raw or pay-per-view? It's Dolph and Rusev. Yep. Who cares? Who cares?
Let's be honest. Dolph and Rusev are the, what's the word I'm looking for, the backup dancers to this main event. They're obviously building something with Summer Rae and Lana, but unfortunately, Dolph and Rusev have to be the ones that put them over.
Right, exactly. Not very good. We move on to the, I guess you could call it celebrity match, where you had Stephen Amell and Neville pick up the win over Stardust and King Barrett. And I thought the match was pretty good for the celebrity match, because, you know, we joked about it in your own home. You think of all the celebrities that have wrestled, and let's be honest, none of them have been good. Rodman, not good. Malone, not good. Jay Leno, not good. David Arquette, awful. Andy Kaufman was passable only because of what he was doing. You know, he was wrestling women at a time, you know, when, you know, he was making all those comments and feuding with Lawler. But I thought Stephen Amell held his own.
He did a good job.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the show, and the dude is in shape. The dude does a lot of his own stunt work and exercise montages on that show. So you know the dude's in shape, and he wrestled without a shirt, you know. Karl Malone didn't.
Karl Malone, no, he did not. Neither does Kevin Owens.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, you know. But I thought it was an enjoyable match. You?
Yeah. No, I thought so, too. I didn't know Stephen Amell from John Orlando. And I was entertained.
You did ask for a complete background on this. Who is this? I don't even know who this guy is. What show is he from?
I had no clue. So for somebody that didn't have a clue in terms of who he was, I thought it was good. Yeah, I thought they did a good job with it.
And then we go to another, quite frankly, awful match. Ryback defeats the Big Show and Miz in a three-way dance.
I don't get it.
I don't either. I don't understand the appeal of Ryback, but he apparently is over with the fans because they were chanting, "Feed me more, feed me more." But I just don't get it. And I don't get why the Big Show and Miz are even in contention for the IC belt.
No, I'm the same way. I don't really know what to say with this, but, you know, they were going in the right direction with the Intercontinental title, and they put it on Daniel Bryan in that, you know, big ladder match at WrestleMania. Obviously, things didn't go the way they had planned. And it's almost like when that happened, they were just like, nah, the hell with it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And again, we'll go back to the same thing I said with the opening match. Why are we not elevating somebody to take on Ryback? Why not? I mean, the Big Show has been numerous times world champion, numerous times a tag team champion. So why would he even care about that belt? And The Miz has been, what, I think they said something like 4 or 5 times he's been Intercontinental champion. Yeah. So, again, elevate somebody else. Stop boring us with the same old shit, so to speak. It's awful, and I'm not a big fan.
You know, we talked earlier, there's Tyler Breeze. Why isn't he not up there?
Sure, I mean,
challenging for Neville or any of those guys.
Exactly. I mean, you have people on the roster that you could easily, that you don't even really necessarily have to even call up, but you do have folks that, yeah, definitely. So then we had Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose defeat the Wyatts, Luke Harper and Bray Wyatt, which the best thing about this match was the fact that they admitted that, quote, this match isn't really going to end this situation. Those words, I believe, came out of JBL's mouth. So then what the hell are you doing with having the match?
Yeah, why even have that? That's not something you should be broadcasting. And again, I think they had the rematch last night on Raw, didn't they?
They did. We'll talk about that. But yeah, they did. And I was like, so honestly, I didn't think the match was bad, actually. I'm a big fan of Luke Harper. I think that dude.
Yeah, he does. He does good.
He does phenomenal. Dean Ambrose, I like Dean Ambrose. I think that he does phenomenal. I think the character's a little wishy-washy, but I think his work in the ring is good. I like Bray Wyatt's character as well.
Yeah, and I mean, we can do a crossover, if you will. I mean, I know on Monday night they introduced like a new member to the Wyatt family. My question is, why not do that at SummerSlam?
Exactly. I agree with you. And, that new member is a guy from NXT. They call him Strowman, I believe is his name, is the character's name. But the dude is gigantic. He is just amazingly large. He makes Luke Harper look like Rey Mysterio.
Wow.
He is massive. And for those that don't know, Eric Rowan, who was supposed to be reunited, is injured. He's out till like December or whatnot. So he is not eligible to or around, if you will, medically cleared, whatever you want to say, in order to be reunited with Bray and Luke Harper. But overall, I didn't think this was that match that I said could have been on Raw.
And weirdly enough, and
it was. Anyways.
Yeah. And it was.
Okay, probably one of the better matches on the show, Seth Rollins and John Cena.
It was fantastic.
It was fantastic. Say what you will, I've said it many times on this podcast, I don't necessarily care for John Cena, but you got to respect him because he's having some really good matches over the last year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah, and I'll throw out again what I've said before. I get really tired of them kicking out of so many finishers and escaping from so many. I think, and you can point to the Brock Lesnar Undertaker match for that too. I think it totally takes away from the, if you want to call it, believability of the product. I know that's probably a term you could throw around pretty loosely, but you know, let's take John Cena, you throw down an attitude adjustment 3 times and the guy still kicks out, why am I going to believe that that's going to beat anybody?
Yeah, right.
I mean, why would you be able to beat the popcorn vendor with it?
Right, exactly. But overall, I thought it was very good. I think we all enjoyed the heel turn of Jon Stewart, which was nicely done. Surprising.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only good part about it, was that it was surprising. I mean, I'm not a big fan of them, you know, adding in the celebrity to get you know, the mainstream publicity for it. I think I read this tweet to you guys there. I mean, the quote was, you know, if this was WCW or TNA, everybody would be shitting on it. And it's true, because there's no difference.
No, you're right. It is. It is no different than David Arquette winning the WCW world title.
Nope.
All right, now we move on to Paige, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch getting the victory in the three-team Divas match. And I don't know, this This Divas Revolution, I think, is losing some steam, man. I was all about it and very happy that they were bringing up Charlotte and Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch, but the quality of the matches has kind of started to slide a little bit over these last couple of weeks, and I think this was a train wreck of a match.
You can't have good matches when you have nine people involved. You can't.
That's true. It's highly unusual to have a good match with nine people involved. You're right. I'll give you that. You know what? I'll give you that.
You don't get any, even if you call it practice with some of these girls, sure. You don't get any time in the ring. All of your time is standing on the apron, clapping your hands and jumping up and down. I think Charlotte was in the match for all of like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? I mean, she's supposed to be the big draw of the whole thing. You can't develop any chemistry with anybody. And they just keep, you know, every week on Raw and SmackDown, they're just flip-flopping who they're putting in there. Mm-hmm. It's got no continuity whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think that, that's why the Divas Revolution might start to lose some steam here. And that's sad because I think that definitely those women are talented enough, you know, that they could put on some really good matches if given enough time. As you said, 3 minutes, you're not going to get 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You're not going to get much done in 3 minutes.
There's that rumor out there, you know, that they wanted to push Charlotte to the title, but John Cena made a push for Nikki Bella to keep the title, to break the record, which I think is coming up within the next couple of months.
Oh, you know that's going to happen. You know that's going to happen because they cannot let Mrs. CM Punk still be the longest reigning Divas champion.
Nope. So she'll probably break that record, and then they'll pass the belt on to somebody.
Probably. My question was this, and I know minus the Fabulous Moolah, who held the women's title for, like, what, 28 years?
Something crazy, yeah.
There was Trish Stratus a long-reigning women's champ? Because I was pretty certain that she was the, quote, longest-reigning champion for a while.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know that there's like a difference between the women's title and the Divas title, or so they claim. I don't, you know.
And I think that's what they're going for. Is
right,
that
yeah, sure.
Going sure. for Divas champion.
Right. I don't understand why they just don't change it back to the women's title. Because you have the women's title in NXT, and then you have the Divas title, which is just ridiculous. But
it is ridiculous.
All right, to probably what I thought was the best match of the night, Kevin Owens defeats Cesaro in what was a really good match.
Agreed.
It baffles me as to why Cesaro has not been pushed to the moon.
Yeah, he got over very well with the crowd as well.
Yep.
Great match. I don't know how long they went, maybe 10 minutes, 10 to 15.
Yeah.
And it was entertaining, the whole stretch of the match. They did a good job.
As a side note, right before we started recording this, mm-hmm. I saw Tough Enough was on, and poor Cesaro got roped into wrestling the two gentlemen. I didn't see his first match, but Josh, the guy with the giant man bun, his match with Cesaro live in that studio was not very good.
How long did they have him go?
Maybe 5 minutes.
Okay.
But it was not good. It was not very good.
And what was so not good about it? I mean, in 5 minutes, you can't screw up that badly, but I guess you can.
Man bun managed to. I'm just going to tell you that.
I'll have to look it up on YouTube or something and check it out.
There was quite a few botched moves. However, they did put Cesaro over. He won with the neutralizer. But by the way, that gentleman, Josh, won. And for the lady, Sarah Lee was the winner. Not that they're not all winners, because as we all know, they're all going to get contracts, right? They do it all the time in Tough Enough, right? You know?
I don't know. And this one I think might be a little bit different because, I mean, I don't think they had enough time, nor did they have the right vehicle to display any of these people.
No, they didn't. That show was god-awful. I watched it literally for two episodes, and I was like, I can't even force myself to watch in the episode of this. I couldn't. It was that unentertaining. All right, back to SummerSlam, our main event. The Undertaker wins. He beats Brock Lesnar in what was controversy, in a controversial finish. Okay, for the match itself, as I mentioned to some other folks, some other friends, I thought the match was good. They were beating the ever-loving hell out of each other, but the finish was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean...
and I get it. I get what they're doing with it. But again, it's like it's your second biggest show of the year. Why couldn't you have done that at a Battleground or
I don't know,
anywhere.
Why is it taking 18 months for this rematch to happen in the first
place? Well, we've talked about that before.
You know damn well they're not going to do a rematch or the rubber match, as they're calling it, till April when it's Mania time. You know it.
Yeah, which is total bullshit. And I heard the rumor was that Taker was supposed to be there last night and he wasn't physically able. I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't really seen much on it, but
I must just confess, you know, again, I did not love The Undertaker. I did not hate The Undertaker as a fan, but I think the biggest mistake they made was when he lost and the streak was over, that's it. No more. Mm-hmm. Don't keep showing up at WrestleMania. Don't show up for spot shows. Don't show, you're done. That's the way you should have ended a streak. And I think that they've shot themselves in the foot. And I'll be even so bold. I bet 5-10 years from now, when the truth is revealed, I wonder if it wouldn't surprise me if Taker goes, I'm gonna lose to Lesnar at what, 30, right? Yeah, 30. WrestleMania 30. And then I'm quitting. And then maybe like 2 days later he reneged on that. It wouldn't surprise me if the truth came out, if that happened. You know what I mean? Like, I'm done, Vince. Yeah. And then 2 weeks after WrestleMania 30, he goes, you know, I think I still got some things, like some gas in the tank. I think I can do some things, you know?
Yeah.
That was my Undertaker.
Yeah. That was good. That was spot on. I don't get it. I mean, the guy's a legend, there's no doubt about it. And I was getting really irritated that they were throwing around the term legend with Brock Lesnar too, because I don't really consider him a wrestling legend by any stretch of the word.
No.
But you kind of feel bad for Taker at this point. I mean, he just compare him from 5 years ago. He just doesn't have it anymore.
No. No.
It's just the awe of the character itself that is the draw. It is not the wrestler anymore, unfortunately, or even the man himself. I just, again, it was a good match for what it was, because we were all expecting them to go in there and just, like you said, beat the ever-loving shit out of themselves, I believe is how you put it. And that's what they did. Anything more than that.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
we should have been surprised.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know where they go with this, because, you know, this would be a great way to segue into Raw. And again, I know you said you just read up on it. You did not watch it because you were busy on Monday night, so I just wrote down a few highlights because I knew we were going to be doing this. They opened the show with Heyman and Lesnar doing actually a really good promo. I mean, Heyman was doing one of his best promos he's done in a long, long while. So, Bo Dallas, this was nonsensical. Bo Dallas comes out and then gets manhandled by Lesnar, which made no sense whatsoever. Because as it was pointed out by even JBL, why would you come out and piss off Lesnar when he's already upset? It was nonsensical whatsoever. It was baloney. But Heyman wanted the match last night. Obviously, it didn't happen. I don't know. What are they going to do? They're not going to have it at Night of Champions. You know they're not going to have it at Survivor Series, probably. You know they're going to wait until Mania, which is ridiculous.
Nope. Right. So what they'll do is they'll let that kind of rest on the back burner and simmer, and they'll talk about it every 2 weeks or so, and they'll bring Lesnar out once a month to talk about it until April.
You know, and that's the only way you can do it. I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only way. Lesnar's got to be on a part-time schedule. Mm-hmm. There's no way for him to be there. Week after week, there's no way. It gets no traction. People are burned out by it. They're going to have to do that. That's the only way it works. A couple other highlights real quick. I'm not going to recap all of Raw because some of it was, quite frankly, forgettable. So the Authority were going to present the statue to Seth Rollins. We saw a couple different vignettes with it, one of them which showed Stephanie and Hunter in the back with the giant black box with the statue in it. That will be a little foreshadowing for later on in the evening, the last thing that you saw. Well, let's just go ahead and jump to it. The last thing that you saw was the presentation of the statue, and lo and behold, Rollins comes out. There's nobody in the box, or the statue's not in the box, but indeed, there is Sting. And so now we're set up for Sting versus Rollins at Night of Champions, What is your take on this idea of Stinger taking on Seth Rollins?
Not a big fan. Only because, again, are we really going to believe that Sting is going to beat him for the title at this point in his career?
Well,
and maybe he will. I don't know.
Who knows? But this is the conversation I had in this very house earlier tonight. Why Sting? Because simply they booked themselves into a corner because they have no one else. They're not going to try Cena again. They could, but they're not. I mean, you know, Lesnar's off fighting The Undertaker. Roman Reigns is involved with the Wyatts. So at this point, they're just grasping at straws. And why not bring out somebody that, you know, I guess for nostalgia's sake, people are going to want to see?
I guess. but you're right. So after Night of Champions and Sting goes away, where do they go?
Exactly.
What I thought would have been a good idea is have, like, Rollins versus Finn Balor or something. Consider it a full, you know, quote, Night of Champions. So you have the NXT champion versus the WWE champion.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think those two guys could really, pull off an amazing match.
Exactly. And now the rumor is that they don't know what they're going to do with the fact that Rollins is the U.S. champ and the world champ. I wouldn't be surprised if they stole the idea that Ring of Honor currently is running with. Jay Lethal is both the ROH world champion and the television champion. And, like, his whole moniker of he's the best wrestler, he's wrestling two times on the show, defending both belts. I wouldn't be surprised if they do that with Rollins, you know, that because he's talked about how great he is. Maybe that they let him, you know, run with that for a few shows as having both titles and defending
too logically. You're thinking too logically.
Well, I know. Mean,
what they're going to do is the U.S. belt is going to sit there on his shoulder for an indefinite amount of time until they come up with some kind of stupid gimmick match where, like, it's the triple threat match with the first fall being for the U.S. title and the second fall being for the world title. That's what's going to be.
Are you saying that Seth Rollins is not going to defend that title in the 30-day time limit, like
Jack Tunney
has stated many times before?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen. I don't see him ever defending it.
All right. Well, we saw the New Day come out, and which was one of the funniest parts of Raw, Xavier Woods bringing out the trombone and playing it. To lead New Day down to the ring and also playing it during the match, which I believe the match was against Lucha Dragons, I believe. And it was really amazingly funny. I really did enjoy it. However, though, that would segue into the return of the Dudley Boys. So the Dudley Boys came out, kicked the daylights out of a New Day, and I guess the question is, Adam, are you excited to see the Dudley Boys back?
And the answer, John, would be no.
Well, come on now. Devon hasn't wrestled in like 6 months, 8 months.
Yeah, and I didn't see them. I hope it didn't show in terms of his physique. But I don't know. I'm beyond the point of nostalgia anymore. Like, we've been beating this dead horse. Like, there's got to be somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be somebody else.
Sure. Supposedly they're back full time. There has been some rumblings that maybe the WWE is looking to buy out their training center because the Dudleys have the training academy down in Florida. Maybe merge it with obviously NXT and Full Sail University. So I don't know if that has any truth to it or not. But the Dudleys are back, and I just wonder in terms of the Dudleys. You asked if Devon looked like he was in good shape. He was. He did look like he was in good shape. I just wonder how many, quote, hardcore matches they will be having. Because you got to think that maybe some of these younger tag teams are not going to be good in hardcore matches.
No. No. And I mean, I've heard, and I don't know personally, but I've heard that Bubba is not the easiest cat to get along with.
Sure. Yes.
So it's got to be hard for younger guys to approach him. I mean, I don't know. Again, I've never met the guy. I've never talked to the guy. I've heard quite the opposite of Devon, that he's very approachable, very
down
friendly, very down to earth. I don't understand what the appeal is. I don't know what they're going to do. Like you said, maybe get some traction for a couple shows. I don't know.
It is interesting that they bring them back. I mean, just again, you know, because Bubba was just a month ago on TNA television. Not that anybody watches that, because
yeah,
you know, it's on the most obscure channel. Anyways, I don't know. It is interesting to see, but you know, we'll just have to wait and you know see what they do with it. I guess the last Monday Night Raw highlight was John Cena confronting Jon Stewart, which Jon Stewart tried to explain his actions on SummerSlam. What was your take on his explanation?
I thought it was a good explanation. It was a good way to tie it all together. I was a little disappointed. I was kind of hoping that Ric Flair would come out and kind of side with Jon Stewart.
Yeah, I did too.
You know what I mean? And be almost – and they could totally – turn that into something, I don't know, but, you know, you could even have that Flair paid off Jon Stewart to do, and maybe they will, who knows, you know, he paid him off to do that, which could lead into some matches where Ric Flair finds a guy, you know, to take out John Cena, you know, I don't expect him to wrestle, but.
Well, yeah. But see, that's your problem, you know, if they pitch that idea, Flair's like, I can still go, yeah. I can still go, and you know that crazy old man will do it.
Yeah, you could go to the tanning bed. That's about it.
No. Anyways, you know, yeah, I'm going to also say this. I'm going to disagree with you. I think that they may have just wrapped this all up. I mean, because, you know, Cena gave him the AA, and he sold it like a champ, and I think maybe that's it. And it's done, and John goes back to doing whatever he was doing. And John Stewart goes back to doing whatever he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Cena goes off to find a new feud, so to speak. You know, I think that's... Personally, that's why I think that storyline's going to go. But
most logical, yes. I'm with you.
All right. So with that, we've recapped NXT and SummerSlam, Raw. Anything else that we maybe have missed in the world of WWE? Man, we've talked a lot of WWE, man. This has been a heavy WWE. We should get a paycheck for this.
I agree. Some interesting, and I know this is also kind of a sports podcast as well. I believe that my wife had told me that the Steelers actually signed Michael Vick.
I heard that he was in Pittsburgh for a few meetings, and Twitter was blown up about that. Some people
really
not real happy with that because, you know, I guess Michael Vick is always going to be linked to the dog fighting, and there was a lot of mangled puppy pictures that were up on Twitter.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so you might want to avoid those. I don't know.
I mean, I'm already trying to make my dog a Steelers fan. Do we really have to make it more difficult? Jeez.
I don't know. Hey, man, you know, you need somebody in case Ben Roethlisberger goes down, but, you know, is Michael Vick the best quarterback? I got to be honest with you. I never liked Michael Vick, ever.
Me neither.
Even before, because no, to me, he never was a quarterback. He just ran. That's it.
Yep.
You know?
And that's all he does now.
Right. By quarterback definition, you're supposed to throw the ball. So, you know, he never did that. So as far as I'm concerned, I've never been a big fan of him.
Me neither. So, sorry to digress, but
no, that's okay. That's all
no,
right.
But I mean, I don't have anything else that I'm thinking about.
All right. Well, as we start to wrap things up here, is there any social media stuff you'd like to plug?
Certainly can always follow me on Twitter at ARB2680. That's pretty much the extent of my social media.
There you go. But you are coming out September 19th, right? We're going to be out in for OCW.
Yes.
Way out in Guernsey County, Ohio.
Oh, boy.
The Guernsey County Fair. Many OCW fans will remember that's the infamous golf cart race, if you will.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, between the Heat Seekers and Hot Commodity Matt Mason and Jeff Cannon. So, I don't know. You see, that's why you need to come out. You never know what craziness might happen.
I believe I missed that the last time. So, I'm looking forward to something just as good.
All right. Well, with that, you know what? Thanks for coming on, man.
Well, I appreciate you having me as many times as you have.
Hey, man, what can I say? With that, I'm going to wrap things up on the other side of this quick musical interlude, so stick around, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Adam Michaels and myself breaking down NXT TakeOver, WWE SummerSlam, and Monday Night Raw from just a couple nights ago. So, you know what? Feel free to let me know what you think about my opinions, my insights, my thoughts on it. And let me tell you how you can do that. First of all, on Twitter, at PVDMVP. That's also where you can see me on Instagram, that same username of PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. I love getting mail. I love hearing what the people have to say about the PVDcast. So there's a couple quick ways to let me know what you think of this great podcast. And before I end this episode and get to Orlando's faves, I want to remind you about Big Fun Columbus. It's the place to go for all of your toy needs. They are located at 672 North High Street in Columbus. You can follow them on Facebook by going to facebook.com/BigFunColumbus or on Twitter at BigFunColumbus. And as a matter of fact, a few weeks ago, I was down there, talked to Jason. We were talking some AWA Remco action figures. He had a couple. We had Baron Von Raschke, Rick Martel, one of the fabulous ones. I'm not sure if it was Stan or Steve. And he told me an awesome story about a guy who had stopped in the week before to buy a gorgeous Jimmy Garvin AWA Remco figure because this fellow knew gorgeous Jimmy Garvin and he was coming in to visit him here in Columbus. And man, oh man, Jason tried really, really hard to get that fellow to bring gorgeous Jimmy Garvin into the store. But alas, it didn't happen. But how sweet would that be? And you know what? I've been on their Facebook page and I've seen that some other celebrities have stopped by, more in the musical realm. So there you go. If you need more added motivation to go to Big Fun Columbus at 672 North High Street, there you go. You never know who you might run into. So check those fine folks out at Big Fun Columbus. With that, oh yeah, I'm hearing the music. I hear it right now. It's time for Orlando! Faves. Notice I said faves, plural. That's right, I got two for this episode of the PVD cast. Alright, the first one is going to be, again, talking about movies. And, you know, recently I ventured out to check out Amy Schumer's film Trainwreck. And I gotta say, it was a really well-done film. I really enjoyed it. So that's my first fave for this episode. Gotta say that John Cena's part in the movie was pretty funny. And I thought LeBron James did a very good job of being very funny, very comedic, as well in the film. So there you go. Trainwreck certainly gets a fave for this episode. And then the other one is a little more pro wrestling oriented. My other fave is a new tag team that many people are seeing for the first time in Ring of Honor. They have wrestled exclusively over New Japan, but I'm a big fan of RPG Vice, also known as Roppongi Vice, Romero and Beretta. I think those guys are really talented wrestlers. I enjoy their in-the-ring work. Their promos are kind of silly, but yet entertaining. And I just like the gimmick, man, that they're kind of like Vice Cops in the Roppongi section of Tokyo, Japan. And, you know, if you aren't familiar with that section of Japan, as I wasn't, just go over to Wikipedia and take a look at it. It's a pretty interesting part of town. Anyways, with that, ladies and gents, I've talked enough. You know where to get in touch with me. I'll repeat it one more time, at PVDMVP on Twitter or Instagram. Shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. And with that, I'm going to close up shop. So I thank all of you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening.